Get what you missed on Ruined It's for breakfast on the catch up. For Adelaide Tools, selling tools, not toys. With 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Mile End and Gawler. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.
Oh, Roo, good morning. When's our next long weekend?
Feels like we need another one already, but that was a bloody great weekend. I feel like I'm the only person in Adelaide who didn't go to Adele last night.
Oh, no.
I feel like a loser.
Yeah, I'm the same. I didn't head down there. 60,000 people was massive.
Oh, it was.
Adelaide Cup had a big crowd as well, so everyone had fun. I actually had the quietest weekend of all time.
You must have been sick, were you?
I was, actually, but there are times when that's good. We had a couple of pyjama days, watched movies.
I love your pajama
days. Held hands on the couch.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you were really sick.
I was. Only because I hit the wall. Because
I hit the wall.
I had the biggest
You
weekend.
Ran out of wax
By
on the
By the time
candle,
I got to the
you?
Weekend, I was buggered. So you meant to
actually burn the candle out on the weekend.
Oh, I got it wrong.
You're going to get your Monday to Thursdays. You just got to... calm down a little bit.
I know.
Build yourself up.
Get excited.
Dry yourself out a little bit.
Now, coming up this morning, we're going to have a few laughs. Jamoan's coming in.
Jamoan, he's
a very funny bloke.
He is. He starts tonight, actually. Mm. Just when you thought the fringe might have been slowing down, Jamoan rolls up. So he'll be on fire.
Tex
Walker will be in.
Has he got a problem?
He's got a little bit of a hamstring, Tex. We'll have to have a chat to him and see how he's going. Peter Helly is going to join us for another laugh. What about over in Bali, Dits? That's strange. They've handed down their murder sentences over there for the guys from Byron Bay.
Mm. Can't believe this story.
Got 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, really, isn't
look, it?
Look,
it is. We'll head over there. 4 years and 6 years. Yeah.
But you get 20 years for smuggling a bit of grass in.
Yeah. Is that out of whack or what?
Slightly. Mm. So big show today.
Yeah, and you went and saw Lawrence Mooney over the weekend.
Moons, what a funny unit he is. He is unbelievable. I don't get out and go to many shows like that, but far out, was that funny. I didn't stop laughing.
And we had him the other night for the... I got a serve.
You got a serve.
I wasn't even there.
Exactly. That's what you get for not going.
What did he say?
Just that you're a drunk and you're a bloody yobbo and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. Lawsuit.
Hearing from Sean Berg lawyers later on this morning. Duncan Bashir Hannon are on the case. I've got everyone onto it.
He's used to it.
It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast at 6:07 on a Tuesday morning.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
On this Tuesday morning, 6:11 it is. Midnight All are on their way here in October. But last night,
another sellout.
It was Adele, 60,000 people.
Yeah, 60,000. Some people are saying up to 70,000. It's huge. She had two concerts in Sydney where she had 98,000 and 95,000 just prior to that. Huge numbers.
Are you into her? I would have gone last night. I just didn't get organised. I think she's got a great voice.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
I don't know. I don't listen to... sort of music like that too long, but if I did, I'd probably like it. Yeah.
Right.
If you know what I mean. I'm Triple M.
I'm with you.
I'm loyal. You don't hear Adele on Triple M.
Can I just say one thing? I've noticed all of the photos I've seen of her around Australia, she's got the same dress on. She packs light.
Yeah, she does.
She came with one dress.
It's probably worth about 100,000.
No. That dress would be getting a bit whiffy by now, I would have thought.
Well.
Because she'd work up a sweat on stage.
She would. I'm sure she's got enough money to buy another one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a money issue.
Come on, Adele, splash out.
What would the average ticket price be?
Shah, who we work with, paid $170. Some tickets were $900.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
So that, yeah. It's,
you'd have to be $250, $350.
It's grossed a fair bit of money, I think. Now, listen, whoever was last out last night has left the lights on at the Adelaide Oval.
Have they?
Yeah.
Didn't pull the plug?
Come on. You know we've got
switch.
A power problem here.
Yeah. Well.
As Adele alluded to last night.
I've had the best time tonight. I'm sorry about the power cut out. You'll never guess what it was. Quickly, before I sing for you.
Adelaide.
So you know the band stage starts revolving after a little while, right? The band start revolving. Well, as the stage revolved, it pulled the power plug out, so all the instruments went off. So I won't be revolving that bloody stage again, will I? Anyway, I've had an amazing time. Thank you for your patience with my absolute useless banter. And thank you for putting up with some terrible jokes from the crowd.
When Adele starts taking the piss out of you, right, you're in trouble as a state, aren't you?
We are officially known worldwide as the place that has more blackouts than we should.
Anyway. Now, speaking of power, I saw a story Friday night with Mike Smithson. He's all over this. Jay is going to announce something big today.
Well, he's announcing their plan for the future of power in South Australia. This would have been building up for, a year or so. So we'll look forward to seeing what their plan is and how expensive it is and if it's viable or not and if it is going to end the blackouts and end the pain for businesses and for households. So
now, we've been hearing a bit over the weekend about Elon Musk, right? This wealthy South African. I'm rapt that he even knows where we are in South Australia, but he's created the Tesla motor vehicle. He created PayPal, among a couple of other things as well. Seriously wealthy man.
Yep.
But he knows about storing power because that's how Tesla car works.
Yeah, he's got a big plant in California that they're trialling at the moment. He says he can fix our issues for $30-odd million dollars. But
sounds cheap.
Yeah. There's a lot of people saying it sounds too good to be true, but we will find out about that. They're exploring that. They've been talking as well. So hopefully we can just get to a situation where we don't have to talk about it at all. Just pay our bills and go, oh, that's not too big.
Mm, let's hope so. Now, Bali, we mentioned briefly at the start of the program. I'm a bit stunned and shocked by this.
Is bull dust.
Imagine, let's put the shoe on the other. I'm glad you cleaned that up. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. So two people have arrived in Adelaide or anywhere in Australia, and they murder a policeman.
Yep.
How long? What would they
20
get?
Years.
At least. Probably 25, 20, probably
20,
more.
20 is not enough, I don't think, for murder, really. They got 4 years and 6 years.
Yeah. And I made the comment
What did the bloke say when he got his sentence?
Only my view, but I was watching on TV when he stood up, and they said 6 years. He always looked at the judge and went, yep, righto. Good on you. Yeah, and he walked out. There was
nearly done a year already.
There was no devastation. There was, oh, hell, I'm spending. He knows he's just been given the deal of the century.
Well, compare him when he's getting 6 years to Corby, who's getting 20 years.
Yeah. There's something
not
right.
And they don't even know for sure whether she did it or not.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
Strange.
Weird.
Very strange rules over there.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Time now to be joined by one of our regulars, Pete Hellyer. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Pete.
Now, your mate Swanny is now out of the jungle. Dane Swan, we're talking. I see he's nominated you to go into the jungle next year. How do you feel about that? Are you going to do it?
Yeah, Swanny can get stuffed. There's no way I am ever doing that show because I have a job if the project falls over, I'll jump on LinkedIn for a couple of years and see if that works, and if not, then I might consider it. But I think he's upset actually because yesterday I put out a bit of a list on Twitter because there's been a big thing, Rue, you'd be across.
Yeah.
I know how you scan the papers for your name.
That's right.
And, always protecting the legacy.
Unfair, Pete. Unfair.
The top 25 players of the last 25 years.
Mm.
Mick Malthouse curiously didn't put the two Ablets or Nathan Buckley in his list.
Didn't he put Buckley in there?
No, missed out.
Missed out. So I thought, it's an interesting exercise. I would do it myself and write a top 25 AFL players of the last 25 years.
Now, who do you have at number one?
I had Peter Dacos.
Yeah, of course.
He's a good small forward.
I had to make sure I wasn't biased, but no. I think Dacos has a place in history. You know, we all love kicking the ball the way Dacos did. So, Dacos was there.
Number two?
Bucks, I think Bucks was number two.
Oh, six best and fairest, that's right. Pretty good effort.
Norm Smith medal. Absolutely.
Okay, so a couple of Collingwood players, just to start off with. I can live with that. What about number three?
Oh, gee, I haven't got the list in front of me, but I think it was Pendlebury.
No, I think he had him at four,
Gavin
actually.
Brown.
Gavin Brown got him at three.
Gavin Brown. Gavin Brown, what a good player he was. Just tough, hard as nails.
And what about at number five, Roo, that really well-known Collingwood player?
Oh, he had one very good year, didn't
Dermot
he?
Dermot Brereton.
Brereton, that's right. I thought later in his career he came good.
Yeah. Stood him when he was playing at Collingwood. He was out in a wheelchair out there.
he had a very good quarter out at Cadinia Park one day, Collingwood, I do remember.
In your top 10, at number nine, Lee Matthews has made it. Now, he didn't play for Collingwood, but
I've probably got him more as a coach, I think. To be honest.
Anyone that can coach Collingwood to a premiership is a genius, and he did that.
I did. I did have Gary Ablett Sr. So this, the people think I'm being biased. I was not being biased. Gary Ablett Sr. did make it into number 23.
Yeah.
Just ahead of Frankie Razzo, who I had at 25.
Not quite ahead of Mason Cox, though, who is in there for potential.
I'm sure.
And Dane Swan may have been a bit of an oversight that I didn't have Swanee in there. But
no, it's one of the most balanced top 25s I've ever seen, I must say.
No, thank you. But it did get me thinking last night with Swanee nominating me to go into the jungle. Who should go in next year? And I thought I'd come up with some ideas and suggestions for a South Australian I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, hang on. What, is this having a go at the South Australians again, is it, Peter?
No, I'm not having a go. Who said I'm having a go?
No, I can sense it. Oh, okay. Right.
So if you're going to put a footballer, okay, Rue, obviously you'd be at the top of the list.
Rue, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going, yeah.
You probably have to knock
money
back
can buy me, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten that much money, mate.
Haven't they?
I've seen what you're worth.
Well, don't pay Tom Arnold and put me in there. And
for sure, either Modra's got to be up there.
He'd be right in the jungle, Mods actually. Yeah.
He'd be right
at home.
Possibly the Jarman brothers. I think if one go, I think you go for both in.
Well, apparently it's good for weight loss.
That'd be good, actually. Both of them be entertaining in there. As long as you got enough beer in there, that'd be fine.
And what about the weed?
Wait a minute, right? It'd be a little bit intimidating. Some of the animals would clear out.
So there's some of your footballers taking care of. You need a shock jock in there, and you just send Pricey straight back in because he's a South Australian boy.
Mm, yeah, true.
You need a couple of musicians. I think Barnsley could go in.
Hey!
And Sia. I think Sia would be...
Love
to see Sia just having a chat with Paul Steve Kelly in the jungle.
Yeah, we've got plenty.
Paul Kelly, of course. PK, of course.
Fitzy.
He's not a musician.
No, he's not. But...
Actually, I thought, because you need a comedian, and there's Fitzy, there's Lemo. But I reckon Frank Woodley. He's a South Aussie.
Frank Woodley. Lano Woodley.
Hilarious. Is he a South Aussie, really?
Yeah, he was born in South Australia.
Didn't know that.
Wikipedia is telling me anyway.
Righto. HG's from Nuriutpa.
HG, yeah.
HG is correct. But also, I think that the two people you'd love to get into the jungle, Julie Bishop and Julia Gillard.
Chuck them in.
No, they'd be good.
They need to balance up the gender.
Yeah.
Andy Thomas, astronaut.
Him and Mods would get on well.
The conversation between Mods and Andy.
I could talk astrophysics.
I've always wanted to be an astronaut.
be a geophysics and astrophysics right there.
I don't mind your idea.
It's a good list. Yep. It's a good list.
Yeah, we'll work on that, Pete.
It's a good list, and there you go. It wasn't insulting. It was a celebration.
Thank you.
Maggie Beer. Get Maggie Beer to cook.
She could turn a witchetty grub into something nice.
Witchetty grub and burnt figs. This is South Africa.
How's book sales, Pete? You don't know, because you do.
Last week, we were number one. We're number one in total. Number one kids' book in total in Australia, and the number two fiction book across the board. The only fiction book selling more than Frankie Fish and the Sonic Suitcase, believe it or not, is Danielle Bloody Steel. It's very exciting.
My kids haven't got their books yet either, Pete.
How many you got these days?
Six. Well, I'm happy to share. Just send three.
All right, I'll share.
All right.
Good on you, Pete. We'll talk next week.
There you go.
See you, Pete.
Peter Hellyer here. Triple M. Ruin tits for breakfast. Tits! On 104.7 Triple M. That is just brilliant vintage Walker. Because that's where the Rangers gonna be. It's Tex Walker, Crows captain. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home. Oh, good morning, Tex.
Morning, Dis.
Sorry to hit you straight between the eyes, but Crows fans will want to know, how have you pulled up? You left the ground with a bit of a hamstring problem.
Yeah, left the ground with a bit of tightness in the hammy and it's pulled up really well, so good signs early.
So just doing the right thing to be ready for round one.
Fingers crossed.
Like you came off totally injured. You thought, a bit tight, I better get off.
Correct.
So all good.
All good.
50-50.
Well, he's saying all good.
Yeah, I'm saying 50-50.
Why?
Because he's saying all good, but it's We only got the premiership favourites in round one. We're going to rest up, get him right. You don't want to risk a hammy. If you're in doubt, Dits, you always give it another week. You know the rules.
Mm. Right. I want to hear it from Tex.
Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth.
I'll be honest. I'll be guided by the PPT because I've never had a hamstring.
What's the PPT?
Physical Performance Team.
Just say that, please.
Slow down.
Try. If you could.
The fact he's even telling you that means there's some risk.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, he'd be going, I'm 100%. You've got to read between the lines of these footballers, all right? They don't always tell the truth.
Like I said, Roo, I've never had one, so.
That's right.
Now, these days with the hammies, you get a scan done. Have you had the scan?
Nah, not yet.
Not yet?
I'm backing the doctors in to make it clear and good decision.
And then you go from the doc to the PPT and then off to the HGK the doctor and sits then to under the RAH and then to the...
Back to the Adele.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now you were spotted last night at Adele. Oh. How was it?
Outstanding.
Really?
Yep.
Out of 10?
Well, we've had Sheeran was 10 out of 10. I'd call it 9 out of 10.
Mm. Oh, so just under it.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran's concert's outstanding. Yeah. Have you ever seen someone loop?
No.
So Ed Sheeran loops, he plays his background music, records it, and then plays it, sings over the top of it.
Right.
So he's not really live. You're giving him 10 for not even playing live.
No, he is. He does it right on the spot.
What do you mean?
So he records his background music while you're sitting there in the crowd. And then he loops it, plays it back.
Oh.
And then he sings over the top. It's really good.
That's clever.
But Adele last night was, yeah.
What's good about it? Tell her, other than her voice.
Oh, her voice was really good. And then I just like her character. She obviously dropped a couple of bombs on stage. A couple of F-bombs, really.
Gee.
And then she actually said to a little girl, if I swear in this sentence, then I'll give you $20.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 words in, she dropped the bomb. So she called her crew up on stage and said, go and find $20.
I didn't think she'd carry 20s.
Gave
it a deal.
Well, apparently she paid her fine to fly out last night back to Melbourne.
Oh, she broke the curfew?
Curfew fine, yeah.
She wouldn't be worried about that.
Wasn't keen to stay in Adelaide.
I just did some songs. No. She had 98,000-95,000 people at 2 concerts in Sydney, about 60 or 70. So she go around Australia, she'd have at least 500,000 people. So if you're based on 500,000 at, say, $250 a ticket average.
Right.
125 million gross.
Mm.
It's not a bad little...
So she should be able to give that little girl
20 weeks takings.
Well, she's doing it, her tour is 112 shows.
Hell. Wow. So what's she grossing for the year?
Oh, plenty.
Amazing.
Plenty.
Oh, it was outstanding. 70,000 people. When I drove out last night, that's the busiest I've ever seen Adelaide.
It's a record at Adelaide Oval.
Now, Ellie Brown, she dominated over the weekend, I thought.
Did she?
Mm.
What'd she do?
Very good. No, you know what she did.
Nah, she looked very nice yesterday at the Adelaide Cup.
The face of the Adelaide Cup?
Yeah.
Did you go or did you have to stay home with you?
No, I did. I went and had a look and... got the winner of the cup, but
the winner of the cup was Ellie Brown.
Anus Mirabilis. It was very good.
Talking footy with Tex, Rue was saying earlier this morning, now with your forward line that's very, very potent, Rue thinks that Menzel should be added to it as well for round one. Do you think he'll get a start?
He's definitely put his name up in for selection for round one, Ditch. He's played a couple of key roles in our wins the last couple of weeks, so his name will definitely be thrown around for round one.
Good tackler and got good skills in tight. His endurance is not the best, but it looks like it's improved a bit. So if he can play that position there, then Charlie Cameron can go up in the midfield and play a meaningful role up there and try and get some depth and speed into that area as well. Will Gallucci get a game for round one? He'll be right on the edge. He's showed some signs, but probably needs to perhaps go and get a bit more ball in the SNFL?
Yeah, look, he's an awesome pre-season coming in as a first-year kid, and I like what I see. He does some pretty awesome stuff, but I reckon his name will be thrown around, but probably Sloane might slot back in for round one and might be...
What about Scotty Thompson? Sort of haven't sighted him in the pre-season. He had a bit of a shoulder injury. He has got the experience and talent to be able to just rock up in round one and play the game if he's fine. Is he even doing ball work or anything yet? Or
Yeah, he's pretty much nearly full training for us, Tomo. And I agree. I've got a lot of confidence in Tomo. Could play round one and play like Tomo does.
Yeah. Where's Brad Crouch's training at the moment? Is he training or is he just running?
At West Lakes.
Oh, jeez.
No, he's... Sorry,
mate. Come on.
I'm not 100% sure where he's at. He's still doing.
Well, the captain. Probably a good idea to look where your gun midfielder, whether he's going to play in round one or not.
We've had 3 days off, so I haven't been in the club.
Okay.
But he's nearly fully returned to full training.
Well, he won't play in round one.
Prediction on Rory Sloan. What round do you think he'll play?
One.
He will?
100%.
Yep. All right.
I reckon he's
in. That's good news for Crows fans. Did you see our boys on the weekend? Hey? Frightening.
Frightening.
Hey? did you have a sneak look? Did you have a little look?
Frightening.
There's a new Eddie in town.
Come on. Don't you dare put him in the same category.
Well, you're putting him in the same category as
I said there's a new Eddie in town. I didn't say anything else. I said there is. Brett Eddie's arrived.
Don't ever compare him to Eddie Betts.
I didn't compare. You're comparing. I said another.
I'm happy to compare.
I didn't compare.
Eddie is ready.
You're getting carried away.
I did watch a little bit of your game.
You're a bit defensive,
Sunday.
Aren't you? So, a bit concerned.
About Eddie?
No, about Port. Hey, you like what you saw?
Yeah. There's some good signs for you.
All right, don't get uppity because I ask you a question about it.
Jeez, you're excited.
I'll
tell you what, 2 weeks ago you were down in the dump.
No, I wasn't.
The stuff you were saying off
air.
I saw
this coming. Yeah. I saw this coming, don't
you? You saw it coming?
Yep.
Yep.
So how do you reckon they'll go this year?
Good. Sydney away round one. We're getting them at the right time.
Well, what's wrong with them?
They're a month behind with training.
Let's be serious here. Are they going to make the eight, Dits, or not?
Yep.
What will you do if they don't?
Well, this,
no, you can't just say they're going to make the eight. You need to...
Well, that was the question you asked me. Sorry,
okay.
I can only answer what you...
Will they make the eight, and what will you do if they don't?
No. Will they make the eight? Yes, they will.
What will you do?
Are they going to?
No,
are they actually going to play well this year?
Will they make the?
Are they going to play anywhere near 100% this year?
From what I've seen, yep, I'm pretty excited.
Sound it.
I am. Well, we keep a lid on them, mate. Get carried away.
Can they push for top four?
Let's make the eight first.
Right.
All right. Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah,
haven't made it
absolutely.
The last 2 years.
That's right.
So
let's make
what
the
will
eight
you do
first.
If they don't make the eight?
Oh, is this pick on me day? Both, if only you could see this at home. Both of them are glaring at me, two on one. What was
you
that,
brought,
Tex?
You brought it up.
Yeah, you brought it up, Ditch.
What was your question, Tex?
If they don't make the eight.
I'm not even considering that. See, that's
well,
the difference.
To.
No, you don't.
Well,
we expect to win. We
I've
expect
got a question,
to make the
Tex.
Eight.
Are you on the wagon? Are you a believer, or are you going to? When are you going to? Because I reckon you'll jump
I think there's
off
a lot of no, there's a lot of good young talent there.
So if they go rusty early, if they don't quite live up to potential in the first couple of weeks, are you going
to
start?
I can't wait.
Are you going
to
jump
have
off
a
the
listen
wagon?
To it.
I just
Speaking
want to know.
Speaking of wagons, have a listen to you two. this is the GAN.
sorry, I'm captain of the club. I've got to be on the wagon.
Oh, you believe your own publicity then? You look in the mirror every day and convince yourself. Have you got a dad joke to leave us with?
What are you going
to
do if they don't make the eight?
Have you got a dad joke to leave us with? We will make the eight, don't worry.
Oh, well, we. No, well, one of my friends just bought a new dog and he claims that his dog can fetch a stick 5 miles away.
Right. Wow, that's a good effort.
Sounds a bit far-fetched to me.
good one.
No, I like it.
Well
like
done.
It.
Good stuff.
Tex George, thanks to Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle, our house, your home.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, as you know, there is so much happening in Adelaide. This fella is a must-see act down at the Fringe.
Yep.
We're talking Jamoan. Good morning.
Morning.
Now. Re-nonsense man at the Royalty Theatre. What's re-nonsense man?
Re-nonsense. Well, you know, the artwork is basically... is it Da Vinci that did that?
Da Vinci, yeah.
You know, the man that stands with the... so he figured out that the proportions of a human being and their arms.
Right.
So that's the poster. And it's called... He was the man of the Renaissance, so it's just
re-nonsense,
really.
Oh, right.
You have to come up with a name for a poster.
Bloody clever.
I don't know if it is.
It took a bit of explaining.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
You know, it's easier writing jokes than coming up with a name for a show, to be honest.
Now, you've walked in this morning in battle outfit. You're wearing camouflage.
Yeah, no one can see it.
Is Adelaide a dangerous city, is it?
No, I bought this and I kind of like it, yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
But fatigue gear, I suppose,
it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I got a pair of pants that I've got an elasticated band as well. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm at that age.
Yeah, they can grow with you.
Yeah. I'm at that age, actually. You know when you sort of get out of the bath and you ever pull your pants up really high?
Yeah.
Just for a laugh.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, that's really comfortable. Really. And then next thing you know, you're down that path.
Yeah. We're very much down that path. Don't worry about
it's
that.
A hard, slippery path too, and it's hard to come back from.
Yeah.
Or you do this other thing that I do. I just buy big baggy shirts and hang out. I never tuck my shirt in.
Mm. But yeah, but you're trying to get rid of that little bit of extra weight is tricky. Mm. Your real commitment.
It is.
I tried that, that no bread, no alcohol, no pasta.
No carb.
No carbs. But, you know, all I really lost was, like, the will to live. So I gave that away. I wasn't a big bread fan, to be honest. Like, but when I was on that diet, I saw bread, and I'd love to just dip that. Mm. I'd just love to dip that in that big bit of butter there. So when you get told that you can't have certain things, then all of a sudden
you want it.
You want it. Yeah, you're yearning for it.
Mm.
Jermaine, last time you were here, you probably don't remember, but you were fairly dusty when you came
to us.
I've got a little bit of a feeling that, you know, you're not too much different this morning.
Oh, no, I'm better.
It's been a long weekend, hasn't it?
It's just, the fringe, it's just too much fun. Like, it just all happens at once. You could go home, but you would feel like you'd be missing out.
Mm.
And you would be.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go home and go, oh, yeah, I've got my kids coming. I've got to behave now. you know, you get one night out, and in your mind, you go, I should go for this tonight.
We had Lawrence Mooney in on Friday,
and
he had a night out as well because his kids were about to arrive, and he came in covered in glitter.
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. How does that happen?
Do you know what happened to him?
He came up against me.
Do all the comedians go to the same place or what?
Yeah. One person wears glitter in Adelaide, everyone wears glitter.
Yeah, that's right. So we can't divulge what happened then.
No.
Yeah. I had a friend, he used to go with this girl, and they weren't seeing each other anymore. That was all over. But she lived around the corner. You'd always see him, and I'd say, just well, what were we up to today? And he just did a look off in the distance. Not much. And I could see this glitter, on the side of his face. I'm thinking, I know where you've been.
Dirty dog.
So, Jermaine, Royalty Theatre, it's all this week from right through until the 19th. And, you've got to go along and see Jermaine.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Please do. Thank you very much, fellas.
Thanks for coming in.
I did. I made it. Yeah.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, today is a big D-Day for Jay Weatherill with electricity.
Yeah, the Labor Party's going to release their plan to save the state because we're an embarrassment to the world. Even Adele, when she gets up on stage, talks about our blackouts.
Takes the mickey out of us,
Everyone does at the moment, and they need to get this right, otherwise they're gone.
Well, Mike Smithson from Channel 7 was ahead of this. I watched his report going back to Friday night, and he said that this would be a big day Tuesday. He joins us now. Smitho, good morning. What do you know about today's announcement?
Well, good morning, boys. Well, first, I know it was for once in my life I got it right, so that was a bit of a plus. But it had to be today because Jay Weatherill, by Friday, it's exactly a year to the day, and he's involved in a big luncheon debate with Stephen Marshall. So he's got to have a plan. It's got to be out today just to give everyone a bit of time to think about it before Friday at least. But, look, I think it will centre mainly on putting our gas reserves back in our own hands so we have enough gas to generate power, whether that means we lease or buy a power station or build a power station, but it would feature a gas turbine in that. But then, of course, there's this battery storage. We're hooked up to renewable energy, and that is the centrepiece of what Jay Weatherill's been going on about, banging the drum for weeks now. So, look, I think there is going to be a lot of emphasis on renewable energy, putting storage into a battery backup, which we can then use. But whatever it is, the cost is going to be enormous. I think we're going to be paying for this for decades to come. And I'm not just talking tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. I think this will go into the billions of dollars. Ooh. But if that's what it costs to save our our, or to shore up our energy needs, we need it. Because if Adele can even recognise we've got a problem, well, then we have a problem.
They're not going to buy Pelican Point. They've said that, haven't they? So they're either going to build a new one or do something else. The battery stuff that this billionaire's come out with only been the last couple of weeks, so you wouldn't think that that's going to be central to it, do you think, Smitho?
Well,
if it is, they had no plan.
With Elon Musk has come up on Friday, you would hardly think that they've said, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it can't be that.
Let's make it part of our policy on Tuesday. But I think it's part of the mix. Mm. It's all well and good to say we'll build a new power station. A, how long does it take? The Premier has promised he'll have this issue licked by next summer. So whether he leases part of Pelican Point, the second generation part there, look, that could well be the case. That's what I've been tipping, that you would tend to buy into an existing facility then rather than start from scratch. But as I said, the whole world really is looking at this. This is a test case for energy problems right around the world, not just Australia. So if he doesn't get it right, if he doesn't come up with something that is dramatic,
he's gone.
And really makes us sit up and take notice today, everyone will say, well, you promised plenty, but you haven't delivered yet. So there is a lot of pressure on him and the government. And if he turns it round, he has a much more optimistic look towards the next election, and he may even win it if he can get this problem resolved.
It's a big day for him, there's no doubt. But Smitho, my concern is for the state economy. Now, it wasn't that long ago this state went broke. Later this week, it appears, we're going to start moving into the new RAR at $1 million a day. So there's $365 million just in interest payments per year. And now if you're talking about in the billions to fix our power, I don't know how this state can sustain that.
Well, I don't either. That's what worries me greatly. But I'm saying not $1 billion or billions straight away.
No.
But set out over the lifetime of a project. And again, what worries me, battery storage and backup, if we're talking about lithium batteries, they have a life of about 10 to 15 years. So what do we do in 10 years? Chuck them all out and say, well, we've got the same problem. We're back to square one. Mm. So
mind you, if it's only 30-odd million to build it, that's only 3 million a year. And BHP lost 140 in 1 year. So doesn't stack up too badly,
well, boys,
if that's the
very
case.
Very quickly, the problem with backup power, battery power, what they've put forward on the table powers about 400,000 homes for about 45 minutes. So you still got to have the candles and the torch ready. That's all I'm saying.
I hope the lights go out during the day.
Thanks, Smitho.
Good on you, boy.
Mike Smithson from Channel 7.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. Ruined Dits for Breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
Karen's of Hyde Park, the watch and jewellery specialists. 183 King William Road, Hyde Park.
Morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
Don't talk over my little intro, please, Ruth.
Sorry,
discipline
mate.
Is needed.
Oh, the angels, they're undisciplined. They're not organised.
Kelly, how long till the wedding now?
3.5 weeks. It was my hen's day on the weekend.
God. What was it?
Yeah.
Jeez, you've scrapped up, all right?
Right over.
It's a long weekend.
We've got Ange the yummy mummy. Hello, Ange.
Good morning.
And Alice the wag, who's very dusty after yesterday.
Hell of a girl.
Now, Kelly, tell us about the hen's day. What happened?
It was so great. It was all Beyonce themed.
Oh,
so we did a bit of dancing, a bit of yoga.
Right. How many girls?
Yoga?
Yeah.
Get out.
I'm a yoga instructor.
Yeah,
that's
all right.
Really
you don't do that at hen's day.
How do you balance the champagne glass when you're doing that?
With difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was an awesome.
Did the Chippendales roll up or?
No, I had to do a few costume changes though. Ooh. And do a little performance for the girls. So that was fun.
Right. any of this videoed or not?
It's not for public consumption.
No, it is videoed. Right,
most things aren't.
Righto, what's our first topic, Roy?
Well, there's talk that diamonds are not necessarily forever. They're not the number one
that's good news.
Choice for, we'll save a bit of money for engagement rings these days. Emeralds, sapphires or rubies. What do you think, girls? Diamonds number one still?
Kelly?
Yeah, I'm into diamonds, although I think there is a lot of people, who are choosing different gemstones just to do something completely different.
Just a little bit different?
Just a little bit different. I'm still a fan of the diamond. I wouldn't mind a few more.
Oh, Ange?
Yeah, definitely. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Oh, my God. Now, Ru, can I just draw attention to Ange's wedding finger? Have a look at the
Mr. South
finger.
Australia I did not hold
oh
back.
Oh, my God.
He's got a rock as big as his bicep.
Yeah, he makes it hard for the rest of us.
I'm worth it.
Alice the Wag.
Give me a diamond, please.
Right.
Hello, Joel. Yep, listening.
Now, you got diamond earrings last year for your
birthday. Yep. That went down really well. I burst into tears and said, I don't want diamond earrings. I want a dog.
That's right. Yeah. She cried.
Now you've got your dog.
Cried her eyes out.
Got dogs and diamonds
now. You've got the
You're
lot
laughing.
Now. Hey, there was an article over the weekend in the Sunday Mail, and this is about calling teachers by their first name. And it goes broader than that. Even I know a couple of little kids at the moment who call their mum and dad. Like, imagine you're a little girl saying, Ange, what's for dinner, Ange?
She does.
does she
allow it, do you?
Yeah, because it's funny. Like, she'll normally call me mum, but if she's kind of in a funny mood, she'll be like, Angie, what's for dinner,
I don't
Angie?
Mind that, but it's when they do it full time. But let's talk about the teachers first. I mean, in this day and age, Ange, are our kids respectful enough? Should they be calling teachers Mr. and Mrs. or are we at the age now where first names are okay?
Well, both my kids are in primary school and the teachers are pretty laid back at their school and they'll say, you can call me Mrs. M, you can call me Mrs. McDonald, you know, but they give them the option of what they can be called. And the teachers seem to be quite happy to be called by their first names.
All right.
In the
really?
Classroom
you
environment.
Say it's relaxed, but do you think there's a discipline element in all of this though? Shouldn't we be learning a bit of...
I think unless the teacher's given, you know, approval to be called by, you know, Ange or Mrs. McKenzie, whatever. But if a child's just randomly calling the teacher by their first name and it hasn't been preempted, I think that's a bit disrespectful.
Alice?
I think it's really weird. It's a bit too sassy. Like, they're your teacher, so you have to say miss.
Hmm.
There.
Right.
That's What's it. That?
Alice isn't giving us much today.
No, she's just like, dust up.
Is it
you
fever?
Need to have a real good she's think about fever. Your role in the Angel segment at the moment. Yeah.
So far, it's not great, is it?
Your no. position's under threat.
It is. Right.
Kelly.
I think it's a little bit strange. I always called teachers. I still remember my grade 4 teacher, Mr. Davies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of funny, you know, 20 years later when you see your teacher and you're like, oh, hi, Mr. You know, Mr. Yeah. Davies or Mr. McDonald or whatever.
Is that because of respect or you can't remember his name?
I wouldn't know their first name in a bit.
I think it's respectful. Our kids have to learn some respect, surely.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with either way. I'm with Ange. If they say it's fine, then it's fine. But there is something cool about going from school to uni where you do start using people's first names rather than Mr. or Ms. or Miss, whatever.
Mm. When you think about that, Ditz, how is it respect when you call them Mr. Smith as opposed to G'day Greg?
Well, it's an A.
I know that, but is it actually? I know. I'm with you. But when you think about it, is it any different?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit old-fashioned.
Joel, my boyfriend, calls his parents Jill and Mark. Like, he never calls them mum or dad, and I find it so strange.
Yeah,
that's like, don't you just want to hug them and say mum and, like, love you? But he's just like, it's cold.
Yeah, it is a bit. There. Right, just finally.
Hey, good comeback.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Turn her microphone off, please. Yeah. Hey, over the weekend, there was a funny incident. In fact, it happened yesterday. There's a family that I know that have got 6 kids. All right. And they were out yesterday looking at houses, and Ru and Sarah have left an open inspection and left one of the kids behind.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Now, how old is Rosie?
5.
Oh,
Rosie, who's 5, has been left at this house open inspection. And has that ever happened to you?
Oh, gosh.
Ru, have you left your kids?
I can't say I have. No. I only have 2, though.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll give you some grace there.
Have any of you ever been left behind, Kelly, anywhere?
One of my best friends got left behind at a petrol station by her parent, and she was the only child in the car.
Now, Ru, what happened?
Well, I'm blaming the 2 boys, the 8 and 6-year-old, for not saying anything because there's only 3 in a back seat, and they said, oh, there's one not that they could have said there's one missing. The truth is, I went to look at this house and it was already sold. I'd looked at it for 20 minutes and then found out it was sold. So I was fairly angry at that point and I liked it. And yeah, I wasn't in the greatest mood. So I said, get in the car and drive off. And as it turned out, I just ended up doing another lap around the property just because I wanted to have another look.
Yeah.
and Rosie come running out from the house bawling. And Nana was just on between everyone in the car whose fault it was. And that took about the whole time from the house to your place, before we all agreed that it was no one's fault.
Poor
or it was
Rosie.
Everyone's fault.
Poor Rosie.
That's what happens when you don't listen, Rosie. She got told to stay over safe. Anyway, sorry about that. Families there say they'll be ringing me now. Will they?
Thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, we're doing it all for Adelaide Tools. The lowest possible prices every day. AdelaideTools.com.au. Roo, spent the weekend down at Norlunga.
Rolled the swag out in the bunker on Saturday night and stayed down there.
Out of the driving.
Had a bottle of port in there just to keep me warm because it was a bit cold down there on the weekend.
Now, what did you like about the Crows?
I thought the Crows played pretty well up against Brisbane. I think they were playing within themselves at times. I think they lot of players. When you're at week three dits of the pre-season comp, when you know you've done enough and you've played enough football, you sort of want to just get off without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're a youngster or you start trying to get your spot or you're trying to prove something to the coach, you want to play well to try and push yourself around one. So I thought at times they were really good. At times they were just sort of playing within themselves. Their forward line, we know last year, is as good as anyone's in the comp. Well, there's no reason why they won't be better this year. I think McGovern potentially could go to another level. We know Betts, Lynch, Jenkins, all those guys. I think Menzel's probably done enough to say that he might play in round one. Might play, might not. But for him to be able to play in the forward line means that Charlie Cameron can spend a lot of time in the midfield, and I think that's something that Adelaide needs. They need more midfielders. They need more speed. So don't be surprised if Menzel plays in round one. Adelaide's back line, we know, is great as well. That looks set back there. Lever hasn't played a game, so I think they'll make him go through the SANFL. I doubt whether he'll play round one. That's just my opinion. I think, why would you risk him? Why wouldn't you get him fit when Andy Otten's doing a good job down back? So I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Otten played in round one. Mm.
So do you think in that last game, so many people think that the club's put out their 22 that they want for round one. Is that how you saw it?
Oh, they do, but at the same time, they don't want to risk players that are, you know, sort of injured. So Lever hasn't played a game, so he needs a run. Thompson hasn't played a game, so he's a question mark for round one. They'll play Scotty Thompson because Brad Crouch, I think, would be unlikely to play. The midfield, which we've said the whole time, is the area that they need to get some depth in. Hampton certainly put another step forward. He will play in round one, Dits, which is great news for him. Miller has improved. He'll definitely play. We spoke about Cameron. Atkins has gone to another level. He'll definitely have a good season. Gallucci got another game into him. So I think they're now starting to get some really good leg speed through that midfield. They just need enough blokes with enough grunt. Matt Crouch, those sort of players. Sloane will be back. So I think Adelaide are all set to go with a tough first month of the year. So Adelaide fans should be pretty comfortable where they're at. I think they'd be happy with their pre-season having won two out of the three games.
Now, what about Tex Walker? He'll be in just after 7 o'clock, so we can ask the big Tex, but are you concerned about him?
He'll play a pretty straight bat, Tex, today, but he'd be 50-50 at best in my eyes. If you've got a little bit of a hamstring, you are not going to push it. I think it'd be some sort of risk. We'll see. Probably in a week we'll get a bit more of a gauge if it's a strain or just tightness.
Now, with Port Adelaide, there's a new Eddie in town.
So, Eddie, kick on the way is good. He's got five for the afternoon.
In the second half.
Eight shots at goal. He's kicked five goals three.
Now, Roo, we can all get excited and say, he had a day out, but he's looked actually very, very good in all three games.
Yeah, he's got speed. He's got a little bit of something that no one else at Port Adelaide's got at the moment. Like, you've got Dixon, Trengove, Westhoff. You're in all 6'6" and up. And then you've got your smalls in Wingard, Robbie Gray, Sam Gray, Need, all your smalls. Eddie's
In between.
He's a perfect replacement for Jay Shields.
He's like your old-fashioned full forward, though. He knows how to lead, when to lead.
He's a Jay Shields. He's a leader. He's he's a good kick. He's got good skills. He's got good speed. He's done enough now. I think he's got himself a game in round one. expect it to be a little bit tougher than what he got it on the weekend, I will say. Hawthorn were experimenting a lot with blokes like Gunston playing in defence. I've never seen him play defence in my life. And Sicily back there, and even Ryan Burton, a kid from Adelaide. But I like
Can I ask you a question, though? He's a rookie-listed player, isn't he? So how does he get to play?
And they'll have to have someone on the long-term injury list.
For him to get a game,
to get a spot. Port Adelaide, the story out of the game was Paddy Ryder's form. They dropped Lobie. They won't play. He won't play in round one.
Ryder looked fantastic.
And he will only play Lobie if Ryder gets injured, I would say. So they're going to have a very expensive player playing in the SANFL. Trengove, Westhoff and Dixon will do the backup ruck. I've always said to you, Dits, that's the way Port Adelaide should play because then they've got an extra midfielder they can play.
Ryder's tap work is exceptional.
Well, it was on the weekend. Absolutely brilliant. He needs to do that consistently. So he looked good. Hartlett at halfback. I'm not convinced he's a halfback flanker yet.
Where should he play?
Midfield. Where he sort of has played. He's only pushed back there because he wasn't going too well in the midfield, but he's not a natural defender. Impey, I like him. I don't know whether he's a forward, a midfielder or a defender
yet. Watching on the weekend, you know what? He's so creative and fast and whatever, but last year I loved it when he got the ball at half back and just took off kicked it long.
He might have to play there because you're not going to have Matty Broadbent in round one. I can guarantee you that. I interviewed him. Didn't give me any confidence he's going to be right. So you're not going to have Broadbent or Pittard. So Hamish will probably have to play back there. What you have found is an absolute raging ball in the midfield. Sam Powell Pepper, for a kid, I've never seen anything like it. He is as good or better than Ollie Wines at the same age.
Well, he picked Sean Burgoyne up at one stage and just threw him to the ground.
And he knocked out your captain for the rest of the game with a corky.
Yeah, if he's listening this morning, could you hit the opposition players and not our own? If you could just do that for
him. Sam Powell-Pepper, absolutely brilliant. He will play, and you've got some big, tough midfielders there now. So, yeah, they're ready to go. Port Adelaide, they have got a tough first part of the year, and that is extremely important for you to get off to a good start.
I don't say that. Hey, Root, now, just before we move on, KG dropped a rumour on Saturday morning. Have a listen to this.
My information is that Sean Burgoyne, who's been a wonderful player.
Superstar.
For the Hawthorn Football Club. This will be his last year with the Hawks. He will, in fact, return home to Port Adelaide, play one season with the Power, and then take up a coaching role.
Stop it.
No. He's an Adelaide boy, and that's going to happen. Sean Burgoyne.
Now, do you know anything about that?
Oh, you can't do a deal a year out, but it could happen.
KG's already done it.
Yeah. Look, it could happen, absolutely. Wouldn't surprise me if it did.
All right, Ruined It's here. Thanks to Adelaide Tools.
104.7 Triple M.
7:56, Ruined It's on this Tuesday morning. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. Five locations, Roo, where are they?
Lonsdale, Paraka, St. Mary's, Gawler and Mile End.
Yeah, very good. Hey, you know on a Monday morning we always do this. We open the phones for our Monday forum
where you
can ring in and talk about anything that happened over the weekend. Well, it was a long weekend, so we're doing it on a Tuesday. We can go to our first caller right now on 133353. Hello, good morning.
Hello, this is Kamal.
Hi, Kamal. Kamal. How are you? Haven't heard from you before.
I know. I'm trying to, get a younger demographic to, follow the great work of Kamal.
Right, well, you're getting that on Triple M.
Well, I thought, you guys, Adelaide boys, Adelaide very close to my heart. I was a friend of the Don, many years ago.
The Don.
Yeah, I used to go around him and Jesse. We have a cup of tea together, and I love Adelaide, I was a friend of Alan Border, Him and I were going to do a record.
Yeah.
It was, I was going to call it the ABCD.
Right. Funnily enough, Alan Border's not from Adelaide, but anyway, there's a connection there somewhere. The ABCD, I like it.
You could get a gig for me at the Fringe Festival or maybe support someone like Adele, I'll get you to be my manager.
Okay.
That's all I'm ringing for.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Kamal. Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next 133353. Hello, good morning. Who have we got there?
Okay, boys.
Who's that?
It's Tex.
Tex, how are you, Tex?
You've already been in today, Tex.
I know. I just forgot to say, boys, I heard a rumour some of the boys are talking real about how you were doing the boundary riding and refused to shake some poor boys' hands.
I did see that, Ruth.
Sorry about that.
You blanked them, yeah.
That's what you'd want me to do, Tex, wouldn't you?
Well, I thought I'd see the boys. I'm available. We'll get them together. Let's do another Rams game or something like that.
Oh, right. Fired up again, eh? Round three.
Is that what it's?
Showdown's in round three.
Yeah, the cuts go deep, don't they, Ruth?
They do,
yeah.
Mate. It's hard to let go.
You could shake hands,
it's
Ruth.
It's hard to let go.
Anyway, did you hear how Ditt's got a new pair of bathrooms, new set of bathroom scales?
Scales? Why did he break the other ones?
Well, no, they're talking bathroom scales.
Yeah.
He got on them for the first time, and they said, one at a time, please.
Righto, thanks, Tex. Let's go to our final call this morning, 1-333-53. Hello.
Hello, Ruboy. Hello, Dick.
Hey, Tommy. Tai Chi.
Yeah, Tommy Tai Chi, huh, you know.
Good, Tommy.
I cheated on you the other day, Tommy. I went to Ding Hao.
Oh,
I'm sorry, mate.
Well, you're the dimwit. You'd have got a Ding Hao. Well, you not come to the New Jet Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw picking Mandarin in. You used to come bring all the boys in, you know.
You were sold out. You were booked out. I couldn't get in.
I know that. What happened to Adele? Where she eat before concert?
Not sure. Why?
Yeah, I had a special dish. I call it Adele. It was combination chicken thigh and breast with lots of honey. But, you know, I'll tell you who I did have in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have in Mitch McGovern. He had a big banquet. Yeah, yeah, big banquet. He come in before the game. He play all right. He
did
all right, didn't he, Mitch McGovern?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, that's good. Because Tommy feed him up big before he played.
What did he have?
Did you hear what happened to Mitch?
What happened to Mitch? No, I tell you what he had. He come in and he have chicken sweet corn soup, fried wonton, salty squid, chicken black bean sauce, banana fritter.
Right. Big bang.
So what happened to him?
Well, he ran off in the warm-up and I thought, oh, no, he might have got injured, but he had the runs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Mitch.
It's true.
So he was down at your restaurant, which is called, again, give it a plug.
Well, you know, you come down, it's in Gola, good just, it's called the New Jet Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw Pitching Mandarin. Come on, see Rubo and Fit. Hit them down.
All right. We love to go down there on a Friday and have our yum cha. Thanks, Tommy.
See you, boy.
See you,
Tommy.
See you, righto.
104.7 Triple M.
Well, we saw the news overnight. It happened yesterday, Roo, in Bali. Sarah Connor from New South Wales sentenced to 4 years and her boyfriend David Taylor, the Brit, 6 years for what appears to be murder of a policeman.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit lenient.
Sounds very, very lenient when you compare it to other sentences over there, namely Chappelle Corby, who got 20 years for taking a bit of grass over
what about
to
here?
Bali.
What if two tourists came here and murdered a cop here in an Adelaide street? Yeah. How long would they get?
Oh, probably 20.
Interesting story. Let's find out more. Channel 7's Alex Hart is on the spot. A good Adelaide boy over there reporting. Alex, good morning.
Morning, Ruby. Morning, Dad.
What's been the reaction to these sentences? Are they? Do the locals think they're lenient or not?
Oh, certainly. The victim's family, from the very beginning, they wanted the death penalty for this, nothing short of a murder charge being prosecuted. And obviously, the local Indonesian media never like to see a foreigner getting off lightly, or what we'd consider to be lightly for such a serious crime. But look, from the very outset, the prosecution team over here accepted that both David Taylor and Sarah Connor never had any intention to kill this police officer. This was an ugly incident on a beach that got out of hand. When they left the scene, the police officer was still alive, and he later succumbed to his injury. So they never really pushed what was called an unpremeditated murder charge that could have seen both of them slotted for 15 years over here. Instead, they went down the path of what they call a group violence causing death charge. And that's right. The one that they were convicted on, a maximum penalty of 12 years for that. The prosecution asked for 8. As we know, David Taylor got 6 and Sarah Connor got 4. And with time already served, the 7 months she's already been here at Krobokan Prison, she could be free in 3 years, 5 months, maybe out on parole even sooner. And you know we had that they had the remissions process over here, so you know possibly even further cuts to her sentence. So the decision now for her is whether she appeals or not, or she just accepts the medicine that the court has dished out.
Is anyone any clearer about how this whole thing started on that night? I know there was talk about the policeman maybe going to burgle them or sexually assaulting Sarah Connor or whatever. Just the whole thing seems a little bit strange.
Yeah. I don't think the truth has really come out about what happened. There was all sorts of suggestions early on that were discarded, that there were stories that changed. You mentioned the allegation of sexual assault. That's because Sarah Connor had a big bite mark from the police officer on the inside of her leg. But it turns out later on they changed their story and said she sustained that when she was trying to break up this fight. And then they completely dropped that sexual assault allegation. They also, of course, say that what led to all of this in the first place was the police officer stealing her bag. They went for a swim, came back out of the water on Kuta Beach. The bag was gone. David Taylor went up to the police officer, who was one of the nearest people to the scene, and started patting him down. And that's what they say led to this confrontation ensuing. But look, really, I don't think we'll ever know the truth about exactly what happened that night.
What about the injuries? You say that he succumbed later on. I take it he must have been bashed around the head or something quite severely.
It was pretty awful. He had something like 42 wounds over his body, and 17 of them to his head, and a number of objects used. David Taylor must have been in some sort of fit of rage. He used the police officer's own binoculars, a discarded mobile phone that was on the ground to inflict some of the wounds, and then ultimately what they believe cost the police officer his life, an empty beer bottle that he found during the struggle and hit him across the head with. So, look, it was a very violent scene. David Taylor himself didn't really sustain any injuries or any serious injuries. So that's, I think, part of the reason why prosecutors, the judges were happy to convict her as being an accomplice in this crime, that she assisted David Taylor rather than tried to break up the fight.
again, we don't really, really know what happened, yeah. I suppose. But final thing I'd say to you, Alex, is that from the footage I saw yesterday, when the sentence was handed down, I thought David sort of stood up and said, yep, all right, good on you. I think it was almost some sort of relief that it wasn't 20 years or 8 years. He almost looked as if he said, okay, six, no worries, thanks for that, and walk out.
Yep, I think you're right. You just sort of copped it on the chin. She sort of raced out of the courtroom. She showed no emotion at all. She hasn't really done throughout. And she's, as I said before, weighing up this idea about whether or not she's going to appeal. But we know that process over here can take a very, very long time and often results in harsher penalties being imposed. So, as I say, maybe she would just decide to go the other way. She's going to meet with her lawyers here at Cropacombe Prison later today to discuss the next step. But, even still, 3.5 years with two young kids who are not just teenagers living in Australia, it's an awful thing for anyone to have to go through.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Alex. Alex Hart, who is a Channel 7 reporter based in Sydney these days, Roo, but has spent many, many afternoons in the Alma Hotel and playing for Rocks.
Ross Trevor Rock. Might have been there on the Buck Show.
That's where he learned all his best stuff, was at the Alma under your guidance.
That's exactly right.
Get what you missed on Ruined It's for breakfast on the catch-up. For Adelaide Tools, selling tools, not toys. With 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Mile End and Gawler. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.